Let's all stand for our scripture reading. I am going to be reading today from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to be reading for you verses 11 through 18. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Verse 11. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" And Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it'll become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come over you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." And then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. So today we're carrying on in our sermon series of called hearing and responding to God's call. So 2 weeks ago we talked about Abraham and Abraham's call to follow God and Abraham's call at age 99 to have a son and to dedicate his son. And then last week we talked about a young boy, a 10-year-old boy named Samuel, and how Samuel heard the voice of God's call very early in his life. And Samuel said, "Yes, here I am." Now, I know that Jonah seems like an odd choice when we talk about calls in the Bible. Why Jonah? Why doesn't he seem like maybe a significant enough of a character? And yet today I had to do this and preach today with you about Jonah. Because in so many ways, Jonah is you and Jonah is me. You know, because Jonah is reluctant at times. Jonah hears the call of God loud and clear and runs away from it. So that's our sermon note number one. Jonah hears the call of God loud and clear, and he's the first one we read of that runs away from it, completely runs away. And so I thought we'd hear a word from Jonah and see how that's going to speak to us and what God is to tell us in our lives about being reluctant, about saying no. So in our other call stories, we have people who heard the voice of God and obeyed. Here we have God coming to Jonah now, and Jonah saying, he says this to Jonah, he says, "I want you to go to that city, Nineveh, the great city," and he goes, "and I want you to cry out against it." And immediately Jonah's reaction is no. And really, if you put yourself in Jonah's shoes, if you really put yourself, there's a good reason for that. You see, Nineveh was Israel's arch enemy. Nineveh, the Ninevites, the Assyrians, came in and wiped out Israel in the 6th century. And sent all of Israel into exile. And it's really interesting that nowhere else in the Bible is a prophet sent into enemy territory to actually speak to the enemy. And so Jonah may be thinking, you know, this could be life-threatening. One, I don't want to talk to these people. I can't stand these people, these Ninevites. And two, this could be risking my life. Because I know what is going to happen. God, I know what's going to happen. You're going to send me there to proclaim a word against them. And what if, now listen to this, what if they actually turn to you? What if they repent? You'll say everything's okay and you'll spare them. Now listen to what Jonah says. He said, I would rather die than see this happen. Interesting. Jonah's saying, God, if you go to the Ninevites, you send me, and if they turn to you, if they put their hearts in the right place and they turn to you, you're going to forgive them. And Jonah says this, I'd rather die than see that happen. Maybe he was racist. Maybe he was nationalist. But Jonah very, very clearly shows that in his heart, he has hardness of heart against the Ninevites. So much so that he will not allow God and God's peace to come into his life, to the calling that he has. So we know then that Jonah runs away from where God asks him to be, and he flees from God from that period. So he's fleeing the presence of the Lord. Jonah keeps going down, and finally we're told that Jonah goes to Tarshish, and then he goes down to a seaport by the name of Jaffa, and we're told that he goes down into the bottom of the ship. And he thinks he can hide, and he thinks he can get away. And of course, what does God do to get his attention? God sends this storm. And at some point, all the sailors figure out that it's Jonah that is the cause of the storm. And Jonah says to the people on board, why don't you just throw me into the sea? And so Jonah goes down one more time into the depths of the sea, down in almost the pit of Sheol, and they throw him overboard, and we're told that a large fish comes and swallows him up. And God provides for Jonah. Even though Jonah is running away, Jonah wants to get away from God, and God keeps chasing Jonah, but also provides for him. So, sermon note number two, this story of Jonah helps explain what God tells us about being called in life. And number three is this. Even though Jonah is running away, Jonah wants to get away from God, and God in turn keeps chasing him and providing him. So God, we're told in the story, provides that large fish to swallow him up, that large fish to keep him safe. It was several years ago, probably when my kids were, I want to say, 3 and 4, and my wife and I decided to take a car trip through. We flew into Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we were going to go up to Los Alamos, where I had a cousin who worked in the lab up at Los Alamos. So we decided we're going to do this by car. So if you can imagine driving from Ohio down to New Mexico with two kids. And we decided to take one of my aunts at the time, and one of my aunts, she had never married, and she was kind of like a second mom to me, and so she came with us. And I just remember going on that trip thinking, this is going to be beautiful. I mean, how fun to be in a car, and I've got my kids, my wife, and I got my aunt in the back, and she's a little optimistic about stuff, but we'll talk about that. And so we're driving from Santa Fe up to Los Alamos. And if you've ever driven out there, you have to drive up these mountains, okay? And it's like you're always on the edge, and you're driving up these mountains. Well, one of the things I didn't expect is that I have a daughter that when we drive in up mountains gets sick. Yeah. And we discovered that she did get car sick, and so we learned on that highway that this trip probably wasn't going to be as romantic as we anticipated, with a small, sick child now in the front seat of the car, and my wonderful aunt who kept saying to her, just think it away, honey. Just think it away, honey. I have to tell you, it was tense, and it was hot. It was about 101 degrees, and you know, I was like, well, let's just keep the windows down, and let's open the sunroof, and let's just feel the New Mexico air. And That all came to a creaking halt. And I remember that there was kind of a chill in the air between my wife and I. We kind of got a little upset with each other. And so I kind of snapped at everybody in the car. It was one of those times where it's just like, oh, Lord, please, please. And I remember finally coming to my senses, and I looked over at my wife, and I said one of those, sorry. Ever done that? Have you ever done that? Like, okay, you know you need to say sorry, but you're still hanging on to the anger or whatever it is, and you just do that, sorry. Well, it's interesting because as time went on and we got to our destination, it was actually a beautiful trip, and I just remember seeing the mountains and just how beautiful it was. And so that morning, the next morning, I got up really early before everybody else did. And I'm a coffee drinker. I like to have my coffee, and I like to use my devotional. I use Jesus Calling every year. It's just awesome. And as I was doing that, the scripture, the psalm came up, the one that says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And here's the thing, "and renew a right spirit within me." That's our sermon note number 4. So I'm praying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You see, my spirit needed to be right. I can't, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to commit, if I'm going to really love my family and love my wife, I've got to do it with open hands. I've got to do it with the right heart. And I really, you know, it's one of those things that you can't just talk under your breath and say sorry. And so what I did that day was spend some time and say, you know what, I know I overreacted. And I really, really want to make the best out of this trip. And once again, it was a very interesting trip. I will never do it again. I will fly. And no, my kids are not allowed to come, even though they're 29 and 30. Just, nope. So sometimes I think when God calls us, it's easier to respond.
Yes, here I am.
Sometimes it is. And yet sometimes when God calls us, it's exciting. And sometimes it's something we can dig our feet into or feel like we have a purpose or sort of injustice. And so I think this is kind of what happened to Jonah. You see, the lesson that God tries to teach Jonah, that God is really trying to teach us, and he goes to Jonah a second time and finally gets his attention after he came up from the belly of the whale, after he was thrown up from the body of the whale. He says a second time to Jonah, "Go to that great city and cry out against them." So like I told the children today, the lesson is sometimes God is relentless with us. Sometimes he's not. But he will always, always work what he has for us to his greater glory. So he comes to Jonah again, even after that whole thing and the whale and the storm and the sailors being thrown into the sea. And he says, "Go again to that great city and cry out against them." So Jonah does this one sentence. He actually goes to Nineveh. And this is what he says. I mean, in the book of Jonah, it's got 4 small chapters in the Bible. This is what he says. The profound words are this: 40 days more, and it's all over for you. 40 days more, and it's all over for you. And you know what happens? What Jonah feared the most, it was successful. And they all repented, and they all turned to God. And it makes Jonah furious. It makes him furious. So Jonah sits back and says, maybe God will destroy them. So he sits back and watches the city, and God provides, we're told, that there's a vine that kind of covers him, that keeps him from the hot sun. I keep thinking of that hot sun in New Mexico when that roof was up above him, that hot sun, and how uncomfortable sometimes that can be. And we're told that as he's sitting back looking at the city of Nineveh and they're repenting and they're praying to God, you know, God kind of provides for Jonah with this bush, with this vine. And then we're told that the next day God also provides a worm to chew on that vine. And what happens when you clip a vine kind of from its roots? It withers. It fades away. And then Jonah once again is miserable. He's angry. And God says, are you angry? And he goes, listen to this one more time. Yes, I'm angry enough to die. And then God just looks at Jonah and he says this. Listen, he says, Jonah, why should you be angry? He said, you're concerned about this bush, which you did nothing for. And yet, shouldn't I be concerned about Nineveh, this great city of 120,000 people who don't know, and God says this, their right hand from their left. And I just did that, didn't I? My left hand from the right, my right hand from the left. Perfect. Meaning, they don't know me, Jonah. And that's the question that's on Jonah's end. It's a question for us. For those people that we wish that God would smile, for those people who are our enemies, God says, shouldn't I be concerned about those people? Shouldn't I be concerned about those people? You know, it seems like our lives, it's okay for us when God forgives us. That's good. We're all about receiving God's forgiveness. And yet when we think God about forgiving our enemies, we don't want that to happen at all. Sometimes we want those people to roast. We don't think it's right for God to show any mercy to the people we hate, to people maybe that are our enemies, to people who have hurt us. And yet God says these words, shouldn't I be concerned about all of my children? You're my child, Jonah, but so are they. And shouldn't I be concerned about them? Not just those that you know and love, but about all of my creation. About all of my creation. A lot of people have asked me about how I got started, how my business got started, my counseling agency. And I just want to share this with you because it was one of those moments where I felt called, and yet there were obstacles. And I'll never forget the first inklings of starting a pastoral counseling and a clinical counseling business was I was serving a church, and this church was a very underutilized church. And so, one of the days I was there, I said, you know, I think our community is really underserved. Why don't we start a counseling ministry in our church? And I got to tell you, people just jumped on board and said, you know, Pastor John, that would be awesome. Our community needs that. And so there was a resounding yes to God's call. And I had people say, you know, the office was kind of like the one we have here, where you can get in from the office and you can also get in from the outside doors, nice and private. And I had people donate furniture and said, you know, what do you need for this? Because we want to reach out to those that are hurting. And so it started. And it was kind of amazing because people that would come started coming to church. And it was all well and good when people come who were grieving. Or people would come who, you know, were having some marital issues, or people would come who just were feeling anxious or depressed. But soon, our doors were open to everyone. And people started coming who were maybe the less favorable. People started coming who maybe had some stigmas on them from what they had done in their lives in the community. People started coming who were dealing with addiction. People started coming who were dealing with some unspeakable things. But yet God was drawing them to the church. And then I got in a meeting one week. And I remember sitting around the table and the council saying to me, Pastor, we just can't have those kind of people in our church. Now, when you think of the call of Jonah, and you think of what God says, shouldn't I care for all of my people? And I think the one thing we need to learn as Christians is all of my people is all of God's people. Yes, the imperfect ones. Yes, the ones that are suffering. Yes, the ones that have maybe committed crimes or are turning their life around. But shouldn't we as a church, shouldn't we care for all of God's people? And after that, I prayed. I said, God, you know, when you lead me from here, I'm going to be moving on. You know, open the next door for me. So I went to the next church. And I did the same thing. And it was wonderful. I remember one service that we had. We took in 30 new members. And these were people that were out in our community. And kind of what happened was they'd come to see me, but the church secretary got to know them. And we had greeters that were working the front desk like we have in the office right now. And people started feeling like, I'm feeling comfortable here. I want to know more about what a church is, because a lot of them never had been in a church. And it was awesome. And then we really opened our doors and people really started coming on the fringes. Those people who are on the fringes, those people who we think, well, maybe we shouldn't deal with them. And those people came and it was amazing. And then all of a sudden, the word came to me again. You know, Pastor, we probably really shouldn't have those kind of people in our church. Struggled. And that's when I finally realized that I can't be reluctant about this anymore. I can't be held back. And so I started Cornerstone Counseling and Consulting. And it opened as a Christian practice. And to this day, we are at the seams for people who want Christian counseling and clinical counseling, but cannot come to a church because they're on the fringes. And what message does that send? What message does that send? And I realized that, you know what? I can't be bitter like Jonah was bitter. I had to just open my heart and say, okay, Lord, if this is what you would have, then have thine own way. And precious Lord, you just take my hands and help me lead these people home. Help me lead these people home. So, when we talk about the call of Jonah and his no, and we talked about his reluctance, God says something profoundly to him. And you know, like I said, Jonah didn't want those people in Nineveh. He didn't like them. He didn't want them. He wasn't going to. He said he'd rather die. And he's upset at God because they turned and they repented toward him. Do you see what kind of a dynamic we have ongoing here? And yet, God, what did God do? He just kept just pursuing him and chasing for him and providing for him. And so he provides for us. I know this last month has not been an easy month with our general conference and our church and, you know, dealing with issues of sexual identity and gender and things like that. But one of the things I can say from the bottom of my heart is this. No matter what your beliefs are, no matter how you feel about things, we have to remember that shouldn't God care for all of his children? And we have to be careful we're not marginalizing them and we're not marginalizing each other. Because all of us have sinned and fallen in glory of God, but God redeems us. And so, as you look at life, like I said, it's easy sometimes to agree upon, you know, the easy things. Well, our church should do this, and we should do that, and we should this, or, you know, in my life, I'll deal with these kind of people. But we have to remember that as we go out into the world, after this worship service today, wherever you're going, look around. These are all God's people. And some of these people desperately, desperately need to be connected to him. Some of these people desperately, desperately know that they need to know his love and his care. But remember those words that God proclaims today. Shouldn't I care for all of my people? And we have to pray that when we do get that, maybe that hardness of heart that starts, or maybe that we have to understand that, you know what? This may be out of my hands, but it's in God's hands. And we pray that God would say those words, precious Lord, take my hands, take them, and lead me. Because those people need to hear that same thing, that our God will lead you home. Do you know how many people are lost? Do you know how many people just want to feel like, I'm home? I'm home. So, story of Jonah, obviously, like I said, pretty small book in the Bible. We remember it from Bible school. But the real crux of the whole thing was that Jonah was reluctant. And God, when we're reluctant, he's going to have his own way. And he's going to pursue us. And he's going to chase us. Until we just succumb to him. And he's going to bless us. That's a beauty. And the other thing we got to remember is that it's not for us to judge who's worthy and who's not worthy. It's not for us to say, people, these people can be in our church building and these people can't. That it's for God to put that before him, to bless that for us. So it's kind of a humbling message today, and I hope that as we go through our life, we go through this week, you go back to your homes and your families, you know, it's normal, we're human. We have some of that inside of us. But remember that God will bless us. God will take our hands, and he does take our hands and lead us home. And so many people out there need to know that same message. But we who are called, we who label ourselves Christians, are charged with seeing that all God's people are cared for. Let's bow our heads. God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for just the call stories that we're learning about this Lenten season. And God, ultimately, you called your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. And God, we thank you for that. But Lord, we know that sometimes we mumble under our breath to you. We say a yes, but that yes is just not sincere. And God, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, open our hands, Lord, that we can lead people home to you. What you wanted Jonah to do years and years ago to the Ninevites. And Lord, and when they do turn to you, let not our hearts be hard, but may we rejoice. May we ever, ever rejoice. We ask this in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.